The following program, Law and Gospel, is underwritten by the Pernod Eye Institute, located at 6680 Chippewa in St. Louis, 314-351-0101.
Are you sad, in danger, scared? We're going to take a look at some Bible verses that should be very helpful for you on this Open Mic Friday. That's right, February the 25th. I'm Tom Baker, your host for Law and Gospel on listener-supported KFUO Radio. You can call me about any item that you might have in mind. And now's the time to call me right at the beginning of the program. We're going to be looking at emergency Bible verses to look up, as well as, in between calls, some discussion about how English translations are quite misleading. Quite misleading. So we'll see what happens here as we move along. 505-7850 in the St. Louis area. 1-800-730-2727. Let's go speak with Brian.
Me.
Hello, Brian. You're on.
Great. My question is about when Jesus is talking to, I forget what section it's in, but the rabbis on the about divorce.
Uh-huh.
Where, what if this person divorces this woman? And he says, the only reason that law was given to you was because Moses gave it to you because you were so hard of heart.
Yes.
And so my question is, why didn't he say God gave that to you? Because that was written in part of God's law to Moses, wasn't it? Or was it just Moses' law?
Well, let me ask you this. Did Moses give us the Ten Commandments?
God gave us, ultimately.
Oh,
Moses
so
wrote it down.
God... No, actually, God wrote it.
Right, God wrote it.
And then Moses gave it to the people.
Right.
Although behind him giving it to the people was definitely God. But it's not... For example, if somebody gets saved by listening to listener-supported KFUO radio, and let's say it's during the Chuck Rathert program, would you say that, you know, Chuck Rathert brought them the message that saved them?
No, but they would say, I was saved by listening to KFUO, I guess, for the same reason, right?
Well, I don't think it would be wrong to say Chuck Rather brought them the message that saved.
Okay. A question related to that I had was...
I'm trying to think of, is this really a distinction without a difference?
I don't think it is. I understand what you're saying, and I understand why I think you thought that he said it that way. I think that makes sense. The other thing is, these are questions people ask me.
Yes, yes. Now, I'll tell you why they ask you that, because they're trying to say that Moses made up the law about divorce, not God. See?
Exactly.
And that's incorrect, because it's in a context in which it's very clear that these are the words of God also.
Okay, and related to that, and the... where the men wanted to stone the woman for adultery.
Yes.
And Christ, he didn't, you know, the thing I see there is he didn't tell them not to do it. He said, well, if you have any sin, you know, whoever doesn't have any sin, cast the first stone. And so they looked at themselves before they looked at her, and then they walked away.
Yes.
Okay.
And your question?
No, I just want to know if I'm seeing that right, or because that's the way I explained it to this person, because that's the other example that they brought up.
Yes, and they brought that up example for what purpose?
The same thing. They're trying to invalidate the Old Testament in relation to the New Testament.
Well, I believe that the invalidation of the ceremonial laws is absolutely true, and I also agree that the invalidation of the civil laws is we're supposed to do. We don't follow neither the ceremonial or the civil laws of the Old Testament. We have a different set. For example, do you remember why the Pharisees had to get Pontius Pilate to crucify Jesus?
Because they weren't allowed to do it according to their own codes, right?
According to Roman code, that's right. And so Jesus was obeying the law of the land not to have this woman stoned.
Okay.
They were falling back on their old ceremonial laws or civil laws from the Old Testament, and they're just not in place. I'll tell you a perfect example where this is happening today. Muslims attempting to do Sharia law. You heard where this one Muslim father was just found guilty of running down his daughter with a car because
right.
she wouldn't obey him. Now, see,
yeah,
he probably would get no fine at all in Saudi Arabia if he did that, because where Sharia law allows that, that's the civil law of that land. But here in the United States, no way. So Jesus was supporting God's law as it was written in Palestine at that time. Remember, he was even giving taxes to Caesar, which, of
yeah.
course, never would have happened in Exodus.
Yeah, that's interesting. The Old Testament and the New Testament being a continuity is something that's always fascinated me. It's the first time I ever heard it was on your show, so
well,
thank you for that.
It just so happens that this coming Monday, we're going to be talking about that at length, because the institution of the Old Testament occurs in Exodus 24, and that's the Old Testament reading for the Transfiguration Sunday.
Oh, great.
And so we're going to be talking at length of the distinction about how we are not under the Old Covenant, we're under the New Covenant, and the two are entirely different. Unfortunately, if you ask anybody what is the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament, 99% of Christians will talk about the difference between the 39 books and the 27 books.
Right.
Whereas never does the Bible refer to the earlier books as Old Testament or the later books as New Testament. When the Bible
right.
talks about Old and New Testament, it's always referring to the covenant.
Right. And the other thing is that you have to remember that in the Old Testament, the moral codes still stand, don't they? As opposed to the ceremonial codes, which are just for the Jews at that time to create their identity and get them to understand who God was.
Yes, and I'll tell you, even a lot of Lutherans are messed up on that when it comes to the third commandment. If you ask most Lutherans, is the Sabbath day still something we have to follow? A lot of them will say no, because they think Sabbath means Saturday.
Right.
And the word Sabbath means day of rest. And if you take a look, it was part of the ceremonial law that began at Mount Sinai. It wasn't that way before, where for sure a worship day had to be on Saturday, and that was a day of rest. You weren't allowed to do any work, which of course is reminding you again of your lack of freedom. And that was the whole purpose of the ceremonial laws, to show that, I'll tell you, if you have to pay for your own sins, you'll be lining up all the time at the temple door with all the various sacrifices of different levels and different degrees depending on your sin. And when Jesus came, all that was abrogated, eliminated, taken care of, because now, if somebody wants to know how sinful they are in God's eyes, we don't point them to the ceremonial laws, we point them to the...
moral laws?
Cross.
Oh, okay, the cross.
I mean, it took God to come and die for your sin. That's how bad he considered sin.
Okay, well, thanks for clearing that up for me. I'm looking forward to Monday's program.
Okay, we'll catch you later, Brian. Thank you so much for calling. Anybody else may call. This is Open Mic Friday, and as you notice, Brian was doing topics of interest that other people are talking to him about. You may be in a theological conversation and maybe not know how to answer it, and your pastor may be busy. You may not be attending a church. Listener-supported KFUO Radio is the place you want to write its numbers on your forehead, on the lintel of your doors, 505-7850 in St. Louis, 1-800-730-2727. And particularly, there's two wonderful times, Open Mic Friday for my program, and then every day there's an Ask the Pastor program at 11 a.m. And any questions are permitted there of a theological nature. So you can take a look at it at that time. All right, back to the point I was making. One of my listeners, although I'm thinking about this, it may have been from somebody who was reading one of our books from lawgospel.com. Anyway, they sent me emergency Bible verses. You know, like you have emergency telephone numbers. And underneath it says, these are more effective than 9/11. Now, here's what they say. They really call them emergency telephone numbers. But, for example, when you have sinned, phone John 14. When Psalm 51. That's when the one when you have sinned. So when you look up Psalm 51, that is that psalm that a lot of people have memorized to some degree, at least portions of it, where create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your gracious spirit. That's Psalm 51. It's a psalm of David. And believe it or not, it's when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone and sinned with Bathsheba. And it starts off, the first verse, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your, what, justice? According to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies. Remember what mercy is, not giving somebody what they deserve. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. If you don't hear baptismal overtones there, I don't know what Bible you're reading. I'll ask this question. I answered it yesterday, and those of you who heard yesterday will know the answer immediately. Did the author of Psalm 51, was he thinking about baptism when he writes, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity? And the answer is absolutely yes. Maybe David wasn't thinking about the Pentecost baptism. He didn't know all the ramifications of that. But David's not the author of Psalm 51. He's only the writer. God is the author. And obviously, when he moved through the Holy Spirit for David to write those words, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, that captured all of the washing, namely that we are washed in the blood of Christ, and that's transferred to us in the washing of the waters of baptism. So I wouldn't have any problem at all. Now, these emergency telephone numbers, they're really Bible verses, these are the categories. When you are sad, you phone John 14. Facing danger, Psalm 91. When people have failed you, and I'll just kind of go through some of them without giving the Bible verses, as though God is far from you, you are alone and scared, you are worried, you are hurt, you wonder about Christianity, you feel like an outcast, you are seeking peace, you are leaving home for a trip, you require courage, you're depressed, your bank account is empty, you're losing hope. And these are just some of them. They also have a set of alternate numbers, they call them. and the only reason they're alternate is because there is a Bible verse above, but there are some more for dealing with fear, security, assurance, reassurance. Now, what I like is at the bottom of the page it says this, all these may be phoned directly. No operator assistance is necessary. All lines to heaven are available 24 hours a day. I really like that. So, would you like to get a copy of the emergency telephone numbers? Here's what you do. You either email me at lawgospel@lawgospel.com and say, please send me a copy of the emergency telephone numbers, and we will do that to you. No cost at all. Well, I'll just email right back to you. Or, those of you who don't have a computer, phone me, 1-877-CMS-1962. 1-877-CMS is 267, and then 1962. Yeah, I don't really like those letters either, like CMS or... I had a number to fall phone, and they had the area code, but then everything else was two words. And here I'm trying to find, where's the A, where's the C, where's the F, where's the, you know. No, I like just the numbers. 1-877-267-1962. And then give me your, leave your message, and give me your name and address where we should send you this. We'll send you a first-class letter with this in there at no cost. And also put down on the phone your phone number in case I need a little bit more information about your address or whatever. So, emergency telephone numbers. That's where you need to go. And you would think a lot of these would be from the Psalms, and there really is, that is true. But then, there are a lot from all over the place. For example, they want you to look at, and what they do is sometimes they give you just a chapter, sometimes they give you actual Bible verses. But, are you worried about something? Then you're to look at Matthew 8, 19 to 34. And that's the story of the wind and wave, you know, that's making the boat almost sink. And Jesus says, "Oh, you a little faith." Now, the disciples certainly shouldn't have thought they were going to sink, because the Bible was very clear in the Old Testament that Jesus wasn't going to die by drowning in the middle of a lake. He was going to die on a hill outside of Jerusalem by being crucified, Psalm 22, and other portions of the Old Testament. So they weren't even reading the Old Testament, or else they wouldn't have been worried. But we don't have those promises that God is going to save you, but he does have promises that even if you drown, you're going to be in heaven immediately, in the Spirit. So there are many passages to calm our worried nature. How many times have you and I been in a situation where you say to yourself, "I'm not even going to get through this day," and here you are listening to listener-supported KFUO radio right now? I've often said to members of the congregation, yes, what you're going through right now seems really tough, but when we meet 1 year from now, we will look back at that, and we'll be able to see how God got you through it. It's not going to be that tough, because he promises it won't. So, are you problems? Like, what's the secret for happiness? Let's look that one up. That sounds pretty good. The secret for happiness, is it the way that the United States thinks? It's Colossians chapter 3, 12 to 17. Let me read that. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of God, Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Yeah, that's really, really good news. And we pray you take that to heart. We'll come back to maybe some of those depending on the time and whether anybody is calling. But what I want to do is, I got an email about a Bible verse that doesn't seem to be properly translated. And we're going to take a look at it. It's Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Let me read it to you in the King James. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." In New King James, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." But frankly, I really haven't found a translation that doesn't say that. The NIV says, "I can do everything through him who gives me strength." That's about the closest that I think is correct. Correct. What does it mean? Well, I'll tell you. This is a great example of what can be a false understanding of the Bible. For example, most translations say, I can do all things. And therefore, you get people saying, see, if you have enough faith, you can accomplish anything. And notice how the Bible verse, therefore, puts the main theme and emphasis on you. But a proper understanding of this Bible verse needs to put the proper emphasis on God. Here's one translation. It's kind of a paraphrase, but I think it touches it better. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. Now, you see the difference between the two English translations? Most English translations give the impression that if you're in Christ, you can do anything. But it doesn't say that in the original Greek. It says, I can do all things. Now, that's something quite different. Through Christ who strengthens me, I can do all. Now, what does that mean? I think this is a tremendous verse to comfort you. You're going to be facing a lot of things, and God's promise to you is this. He will make sure that you are ready for anything and equal to the task that will have to be done if it's necessary, because God is going to be the one who gives you the strength to do it. So here's the difference in the two understandings. Most English translations give the impression that whatever you decide to do, you'll be able to do it because God will strengthen you. And then such preachers, when you're not able to do it, they say, see, you don't have enough faith. Well, we don't agree with that at all. Instead, the proper understanding of this text, and I think it's very important to understand it this way, is whatever you're going to face in this life, God promises to strengthen you in order to get you through it. So, it's kind of a parallel passage to one of my favorite Bible verses, 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will never allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But even with the temptation, will make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So you have a choice. Most English translations give the impression you decide to do something and you will be able to do it with the help of God. It's kind of the word faith movement. If you got enough faith, you can do anything. Or the proper understanding, which is in line with 1 Corinthians 10:13, is you're going to face a lot of things. But guess what? You are going to be ready and equal to the task at hand because God will infuse inner strength into you. And I have seen that as a pastor. I've seen people get up in the morning ready to go to work. Maybe they're a teacher at school, and all of a sudden they find out that one of their children were seriously injured in a car accident. They phone me. I meet them at the hospital. Boy, it's really quite amazing the strength that they receive from hearing the Word of God, that what they would not have been able to handle, in my opinion, just a few hours earlier, their mind wasn't even in this area. Wow, what a difference. I appreciate receiving this, and any of you, if you've got some English translations that you think are misleading or give a bad impression, like we had just done one for the Bible study where God promises, you know, food, drink, clothing. And so our question was, well then, how come people who are Christians end up starving and not having enough to drink and not enough clothes against the elements outside? And so we answered that, and that was with Mark Smith. Yes, the English translations really need some insight. When we get back from the break, you can call me on any of them, or we'll also talk about some of those emergency telephone numbers. Stay with us through the break.
Law and Gospel with Tom Baker is underwritten by the Pernod Eye Institute of St. Louis. In 1978, Drs. Flavius and Joan Pernod founded the Pernod Eye Institute with a commitment to provide trustworthy, comprehensive eye care to their patients. Giving patients improved vision with up-to-date technology is their mission, from cataract or glaucoma treatment to laser vision correction. The Pernod Eye Institute is located at 6680 Chippewa in St. Louis, 314-351-0101. Here's some information you might want to pass along to your teenagers or your teenage grandchildren. The St. Louis Zoo is hiring for the 2011 spring and summer season. The zoo is holding a job fair to meet with prospective employees. The date of that job fair, Saturday, March 5th, from 9 a.m. to noon. There are weekday and weekend hours available. Background screenings and drug testing are required for all new hires. The job fair is held at the Living World.
This is a Focus on the Family Minute, and I'm John Fuller. When we witness an injustice or suffer a hurt, we often have questions for God, but few clear answers. Here's psychologist and author Dr. John Townsend with a helpful perspective.
God allows people to be really unloving and be an addict or be abusive or, you know, hurt each other. And the whole reason for that is because God values love so much. So he set up a system where he allows people to be really, really unloving and walk away from him so that when they're ready to come back, they will do that of their own free will. So freedom, the freedom to be kind of a bad world, is God's price tag for the love that he wants to have from us.
The freedom to reject or reciprocate God's love is just one indicator of his grace in this fallen world. For more about God's love, visit FocusOnTheFamily.com.
Got some of your favorite people on Monday on Morning Essentials on KFUO Radio. Co-host Pastor Bill Simmons from Christ Memorial Lutheran Church. A visit with Dr. Jack Fiennes, biblical counselor. Karen Tripp has a message for you. Pastor Curtis Dieterding has a devotional thought. And we'll hear from Rosie Adel and then open the lines between you and Pastor Kurt Taylor from St. John Lutheran Church in Walsh, Michigan, Monday on Morning Essentials on KFUO Radio.
Coming up this weekend from Focus on the Family, dating advice for married couples. Do you have a regular date night with your spouse? How fairy tales can teach your kids about God. And the dangers of emotional promiscuity. All that and more on the next Weekend Magazine.
Saturday mornings at 10 on KFUO Radio.
Remember, if you want a free copy of what we were talking about, emergency telephone numbers, which are really Bible verses in emergency, then email me at lawgospel@lawgospel.com or phone me at 1-877-CMS-1962. One that I found kind of interesting here is how to get along with other people. And the emergency phone number or Bible verse is Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, what does that mean? Well, first of all, you can't do it on your own power. It's by the mercy of God. God gives you power you don't deserve, strength, to really present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, what does a living sacrifice mean? Well, when you are sacrificial to others, we talked about that about 3 days ago when we were making a distinction between anxiety. Is anxiety always sin? And the point I made was this. Anxiety is always sin when it's self-ish oriented. Anxiety is not sin when you're anxious over someone else. So it's not to be a sin if you're anxious over your child who has to have some kind of a surgery. It seems to me one can say that Jesus was anxious and in grief over the death of Lazarus. He wept. But that wasn't sinful. In fact, that's one way by all accounts how to decide whether something's a sin. If Jesus ever did it, said it, or thought it, it's not a sin. That's just pretty easy because he's God. So a living sacrifice is really to make yourself open to others, to really be more concerned about another than about you. This is found all over the place. One of the most helpful passages is when we're talking about the humiliation of Jesus Christ. Remember how that said, how that begins? Chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And in this mind, and in this way, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, he was God. Set aside his rainbow-encircled throne and came to earth. Why? To take upon himself your sin. Talk about being concerned about you. That's a huge difference. By the way, you can get a free copy of the emergency telephone numbers. Yesterday, and there are some of you who would like this also, so let me add this in if you were... I gave you a list of names and their condition from the Bible of people that God had used. In case you think that you yourself are unusable by God, maybe because of some sin you have done or something else along those lines. Well, this is part of the list, and I'll just give you some of them. That God chose these people. Noah, who was a drunk, Abraham, who was too old, Isaac was a daydreamer, Jacob was a liar, Leah was ugly, Joseph was abused, Moses had a stuttering problem, Gideon was afraid, Samson was a womanizer, Rahab was a prostitute, and David had an affair and was a murderer. And it just goes down the line. So it lists all kinds of individuals from the Bible. In fact, I once said that I couldn't think of anybody in the Bible who obviously didn't have a big sin that God used. Now, I'm having a little problem thinking of Daniel, for example. It appears that there's no real known sin that's revealed. Am I saying that Daniel wasn't a sinner? No, of course not. I said it just wasn't revealed. Okay? But you may find a character or two in the Bible, like Daniel, where it appears he did lead an exemplary life, but on the other hand, we know he too would have confessed he was a poor, miserable sinner deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. But all these other people, you know, can you imagine your God, and now you have to choose somebody to be your minister to the Gentiles, and so you choose somebody who's out murdering Christians who isn't even a Gentile, he's Jewish. So far for some of the thinking in today's world. So, what can we refer to these people as? Is people of disappointment or people who are sinners? If you would like both the emergency telephone numbers as well as the people that God has chosen, that whole list, then email me at lawgospel@lawgospel.com or phone me at 1-877-CMS-1962. And guess what? We'll send you a free copy. If you do it through email, that makes it easiest for us. We just email back. But if you do it through snail mail, we'll send it back to you. Just make sure your address, phone number, name, and all that is in there. If you have any questions on anything at all of a theological nature, don't hesitate to phone Now's a good time to do so before the end of the hour. 505-7850. That's here in the St. Louis area. Toll free, 1-800-730-2727. You know, looking back at these emergency telephone numbers, how many times have you been in a situation where you just feel that the world's got the best of you? You know what you're really thinking? That the world is bigger than God can handle. Stop and think about that. Each time you're worried about something like that, the world is bigger than God can handle. Well, if you ever have that thought, take a look at Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Have you ever made something, maybe a trinket or something out of wood, like I made a wooden table? But having made that wooden table, does it get to the point where it now overpowers me? No, of course not. The creature never can be as powerful as the creator. So when you and I have the thought that the world is coming down all over me, I'm losing my friends maybe because of my age, more and more people are dying, and I've lost close family members, you may think the world is bigger than God. Turn to Psalm 90. Because God's in charge. Verse 3 is kind of interesting. You turn man to destruction and say, "Return, O children of men." Boy, hasn't that happened to us? Where we're going through a really, really tough time. Maybe it's a disease. Maybe it's a loved one that we're having trouble with. Maybe it's work. I mean, there are so many things that can happen to us in this life. And we know God permitted whatever is sad to us to have occurred. But then he says, "Return to me, O children of men." And why can he say that? Because verse 4 says, "A thousand years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood. They are like asleep. In the morning they are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up, and in the evening is cut down and withers. Yes, we have been consumed by your anger. By your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance." See, this is why people are in terror about God. Because they know this part. They know that they have fallen short of the glory of God. Who knows the power of your anger? So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord. How long? Have compassion on your servants, O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Yeah, how many times have you had that kind of a prayer to God? Dear Lord, I ask for patience, and please hurry up. Verse 15, Psalm 90 we're looking at. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, and the years in which we have seen evil. What? Well, I'll tell you, look at all the evil that Jesus saw in his 33 years here on earth. And yet he went to the way of the cross with joy, with the joy that was set before him. He endured the pain, the shame, died on the cross for you and me who don't deserve it. So we ask, let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Now, note well that in these Psalms and in the whole rest of the Bible, God is at the focus, at the center of all attention. He's the one that's making everything work properly. Not you or not me. Have you accomplished something in your life? Give him the credit. take the blame for your sin. Look to Him to wash away that sin in the waters of baptism. And then share the message with those who still remain in the darkness of unbelief that there is hope for them. A hope that will not fade away. You have a question? In St. Louis area, 505-7850. And you can do that on your cell phone while you're driving. If you've got a Bible verse, I can normally look it up, read it to you, and we can discuss it. Anywhere in North America, if you're listening on the Internet right now, 1-800-730-2727. And then you can also email me at lawgospel@lawgospel.com. How about your bank account is empty? Would you like a Bible verse for that? Well, I'll tell you, if you were in a word faith movement, they'd be telling you, well, just have more faith. Take some risks. But would you like to be in Libya or Egypt right now? Oh, I tell you. And what reason is your Bible empty? Who knows? Well, let's take a look at Psalm 37, then we'll go back to the phone lines. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. Feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, this is another tough Bible verse. What does the desires of your heart mean? I don't think God's going to give me a lot of times the desires of my heart because they're sinful. But the real desire of your heart as a Christian, as a new man, is to worship the Lord God and give Him the honor and glory. That's what He's talking about, in that the desires of your heart will be fulfilled. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to James. Hi, James.
Hello, Pastor. I'd like to know if it's proper to have an urgent plea to God or to ask for Him to answer your prayer speedily, like right now.
Oh, no, you can ask anything you want. But remember what you're going to say, if it be thy will.
Okay.
Like, for instance, let's say you're on the side of a mountain climbing up and you lose your footing and you're hanging there. Oh, I would have a very urgent plea to God.
Yes.
So it's the circumstances that decide the urgency of your prayer request.
Okay. And God reacts to those circumstances.
Yeah. Sometimes a helicopter appears and you're carried off the mountain. And sometimes you fall down to your death.
I'm sorry. No. Oh, sometimes I fall to my death.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, that's how he'll reply.
Okay. Well, the reason why I asked that, I'd like for you to give me a law and gospel application.
Oh, really? I never thought that was coming.
Yeah. Of Psalm 69, verses 16 through 18. That's Psalm 69, verses 16 through 18.
Okay. You going to stay on or just listen?
No, I'm going to go back and listen.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Psalm 69. First of all, let me read it to you because I know some of you are driving around in the car. 69:16-18. Hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies, and do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw near to my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies. Well, in the context, I can understand why James asked about this speedy prayer, because here, David himself says, hear me speedily. Now, what is the problem? David isn't hanging on the side of a mountain here. Verse 18 really helps you. Draw near to my soul and redeem it. Draw near to my soul and redeem it. How long do you think God took to answer that prayer? Instantaneously. All that David had to do is go back to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. But there's a specific phrase in that psalm that is a direct answer to this urgent plea on the part of David. And what is it? He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The restore my soul actually means he brings me back to life. In other words, this is the redemptive word in Psalm 23 that therefore is the fulfillment of Psalm 69, verse 18, draw near to my soul and redeem it. Then he says, deliver me because of my enemies. Now, this is really kind of important. He doesn't say, deliver me from my enemies. A good example would be, remember, every one of the Psalms is a prayer of Jesus. What was he being delivered from? Because of my enemies. Delivered from the temptation to listen to his enemies. Well, what did they say to him? Oh, if you were the Christ, you could come down from that cross and be healed instantly. You know, save yourself. Tremendous temptation. And for him to stay up on the cross, it was giving them the impression he truly wasn't the Messiah. But you see, God doesn't give evidence and proof that he's the Messiah outside of his word. Those who understood recognized him as the Messiah. In fact, as the Son of God, as did the centurion. So that Jesus was delivered because of the enemies who were tempting him to not follow through with the will of the Father, to die for those who were actually nailing him to the accursed tree. In this context, David, and this could be also in light of the Bathsheba incident, the only way the Lord is going to hear him is out of his mercy, not because David deserves it. And David, how many times have you felt this at times that God hides his face from you, especially when you're in trouble? I mean, you feel alone? It's really hard to sense, let alone trust, that God is at your side every moment of your life. But he is. That's his promise. So whatever you're going through, and we've got a lot to go through before we come even near to the martyrdom of the disciples, all except John. Every one of them killed for the sake of Jesus, put to death. Somebody once asked, could you go through that right now? And my answer right away was no. But you see, something else happens. You get what's called spiritual adrenaline. So that when you are faced with something, then those promises kicked in, like the one we looked at in 1 Corinthians 10:13, the way of escape. The way of escape might be a strength of faith beyond what you normally have. It's like physical adrenaline. I've said this before, but there actually was an accident where a car's roof rolled over partially on a child of a woman. And that woman was able to lift up the car so they could extract the little boy from underneath it and saved his life. That little boy was her son. Now, normally she couldn't probably bench press 100 pounds. But there she was able to roll a car on its side until they could save her son. Where'd she get this strength? Well, there's also a spiritual strength that kicks in. So our faith is a sure faith, knowing that whatever happens to us, God's going to take care of us. He's going to be with us. And those of us who are a little older can look back over our life and see countless times when he stepped in and did something that we weren't expecting, but really made a difference in our situation. That's the kind of God you have. It's a God that will really love you and take care of you. In fact, we're going to be talking about him our last Sunday this week at St. Paul de Pere. That's here in St. Louis at 12345 Manchester. Okay? And it's at 9:30 in the morning. If you'd like to get all of the PowerPoints and the videos I've done for the 12 weeks, bring along a USB kind of hard drive that you stick into my computer and have at least about 8 megabytes. 9:30 downstairs at the church at 12345 at St. Paul de Pere. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk with Nash. Hi, Nash.
Hey, how you doing, Pastor?
Very good.
Yeah, sorry for calling so late, but nevertheless, I'm still stuck on yesterday when we spoke, and I found the scripture concerning as far as the author. We was talking about the authority, and this is 2 Peter, 1st chapter, verse 20, says, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit.
Well, that is an excellent verse to make the point that the Word of God has God as the author and the men are only the writers.
That's correct.
That's an excellent verse. The other one that you might want to also pigeonhole in there is 2 Timothy 3:14. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Amen.
2 Timothy. I really want to thank you, Nash. That's an excellent Bible verse.
Okay, and hopefully, Lord willing, I'll see you Sunday.
Oh, we're looking forward. Oh, yeah, St. Paul de Pere. It was great to have you there last time, and be my last time, and I'd sure enjoy seeing you.
Okay, and if I could get those two lists, if I'm able to pick them up there, I would appreciate it.
I'll bring them along.
All right.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel. Now, after Sunday, I've only been at St. Paul de Pere for the 12 weeks simply because during the winter it's kind of hard to go around the country. You don't know what the weather is going to be like. But beginning in March, I start my travels around the country again. And not everything is filled up through September. So, if you'd like to have me come into your area, and it doesn't really matter, like I'm going to Washington State and other places, give me a ring. Either at 1-877-CMS-1962 or go to the website, lawgospel.com. You'll not only see our resources, but you go under seminars, and there we'll explain to you how you might be able to come and get me, how you can phone me and contact me and talk about a seminar in your area. Okay? 1-877-CMS-1962 and lawgospel.com and look under seminars. This Sunday, we're going to be doing the last of the Heidelberg Disputation. And then on Monday, back here on KFUO, we're going to be taking a look at the main Bible verse. In fact, some scholars think it is the most important chapter in the entire set of Old Testament books, Exodus 24, because that is where the Old Covenant is established. And we're going to be taking a look at that and also preparing for the following Sunday, which is going to be the Sunday, guess what? Of the Transfiguration. That'd be the last Sunday in Epiphany. That's what it's called, the Sunday of the Transfiguration. And then we begin to move towards Lent right after that. So, don't hesitate to give me a ring and see me at St. Paul's or contact me through lawgospel@lawgospel.com. I'm Tom Baker. I want to thank you so much for this week. And as indicated, I am also going to be available in evenings now, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, to do Bible studies at churches around the St. Louis area. Please contact me. Until then, till Monday or Sunday if I see you, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel weekdays at 3 p.m. on KFUO Radio, underwritten by the Pernod Eye Institute. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.